Chapter 22, Other Methods of Written Communication. Fax, Memo, Email. The intercom and face-to-face discussion is the best method for internal communication. Written messages are important too, and the memo is extensively used for exchanging information within the organization. What is intercom? It is an internal telephone system. The intercom ideally saves time, and you do not have to send a peon or any other person from your cabin to let a message reach to the person in the other cabin. When we talk of the intercom, of course, it's over the telephone. The tone will say a lot when it's over the telephone. When we talk of the intercom, a person will be able to gauge what the other person is saying also through his or her tone. In today's wired world, WIRED, face-to-face communication is yet preferred. Why? Face-to-face communication gives immediate feedback. But at the same time, when we talk of, for example, Skype, S-K-Y-P-E, Skype or Skype, it is a form of communication whereby we can connect to any person in the world. And it is as good as face-to-face communication. As good as face-to-face communication. We mean that the person is not literally in front of us, but it definitely saves time and effort in terms of traveling, and it saves cost too. When we talk of face-to-face discussion, as far as internal communication is concerned, it is required because people are available and people are there. That is why face-to-face communication takes place, since we are talking of internal communication. Written messages are important. Written messages convey a direct idea or convey direct instructions, suggestions or views. A written message may take longer to draft and send, but a written message ideally is easier to understand and it saves time to an extent. Why is it easier to understand? Maybe not always, but very often, as far as formal communication is concerned, because it is factual, concise, and to the point. So when we talk of a memo, the word actually is memorandum. Memo is a form of communication within an organization. It can be in form of hard copy. A memo has a particular format. And when a memo is written, it is for a particular purpose. For example, the director wants to have an urgent meeting. So a memo is sent to the concerned people in the organization. There is a preset agenda as far as this meeting is concerned, the number of people who are sent this memo so that they have to be present for this meeting, and at the same time, the importance is that they've been told through the memo. That means, an important aspect is that through written communication, through the memo, they've been informed that there is a meeting in the organization. So as we discussed, the memo is extensively used for exchanging information within the organization. So for people who are there within that organization. Memos. It is used for communication within the organization. It is written to ask for information, to give information, to request for decision or action, and to convey information about action or decision. Now, when we say it is written to ask for information, that means it is specific. The concerned person will want specific details or will want to give information. Maybe the director will want to give information to his subordinates regarding a meeting. What is the purpose of the meeting? To discuss a project, to discuss targets maybe. So various aspects where one important point is to ask information and to give information. To request for decision or action. Whenever there is a situation, the next step is what will be the action taken as far as the situation is concerned, or what is the decision or outcome we expect. So we are talking of to request for decision or action. And to convey information about action or decision means a decision is taken by the person at top management. For example, Mr. X is coming late to work since the last 1 month. He has been irregular at work. As far as timings are concerned, he has not lived up to timings. So, the director sends a warning memo to him. A warning memo is not dismissal, but it may be to give an idea to the person that if he or she continues in this manner, then he may be asked to leave or she may be asked to leave. It can be perceived as a threat to the subordinate because it is ultimately a warning memo. Since a warning memo is in written communication, it is also important that prior to sending communication in a written format, it requires the person at top management to also speak to the person, if possible, face to face. That means when a warning memo is sent, it is better that there is face to face discussion between the person at top management and the subordinate to understand the reason or reasons for Mr. X being late to work since the last 1 month. A memo has two sections, the heading and the body. The format may be vertical or horizontal. So when we talk of a memo, just the way an email has a format, it has a salutation, which is dear sir, a complimentary close, yours faithfully, yours sincerely, yours truly, a subject line which is necessary. So the same for a memo, whereby the heading and the body are of great importance. And then of course, as I said, the format may be vertical or horizontal. Okay. Memos. Now we discuss the format of a memo. First and foremost is two. This space is for the name of the person to whom the memo is sent. Say it is sent to a subordinate who's in the marketing department. So we write to with a colon, Mr. and his surname. Below that, we can write marketing manager. So we can write the designation below the name on the next line. Then we talk of from. The writer's own name is written on this line. So Mr. So and so from colon, Mr. and the surname. Below that, it will be the director or a person who has ideally sent this email to the subordinate. Date. Write the full name of the month or its standard abbreviation. For example, standard abbreviation September, S-E-P-T dot. So we write 29 August 2012. If you write the abbreviation, it has to be followed by a dot. Subject. The subject should be stated concisely and accurately. So when we talk of a memo, to with a colon, followed by from, followed by the date, and then the subject. To, because whom are we writing to? And from is who is the concerned person. In an email, you have dear sir or dear mister and the surname. Here, it comes to. That means I write the name and the designation. In an email, you have a complimentary clause, yours faithfully or yours sincerely or yours truly. Here, we have it as from. So, there is no salutation and complimentary clause ideally if we look at a difference between a memo and an email. Organizing a memo. Organize the material to suit the purpose of the memo by increasing or decreasing the order of importance. Organizing by decreasing order of importance is used when the reader is well acquainted with the topic. When we talk of decreasing order of importance, it's decreasing. That means the most important point is put forward initially. If the most important point is put forward right at the start, it also means that the person who's reading is well aware of the topic. The person is well aware as to what exactly is the person who has sent the memo. The person is also aware. When we talk of the person who is the reader is also aware as to what exactly has been expressed in this memo. When we talk of decreasing order of importance, because the most important sentence will be at the start. This is done only when the sender as well as the receiver both are aware of what the memo is related to in terms of a topic. Organizing by increasing order of importance is suitable for certain types of occasions and messages. When we talk of increasing order of importance, say a director wants to give instructions to a subordinate about a particular project. The subordinate does not have ideas as far as this project is concerned and is not aware of a lot of aspects as far as this project is concerned. So, the director would explain an increasing order of importance. That means from infancy stage to middle stage to final stage. That means put forward the details in a manner whereby the subordinate will understand. And express ideas appropriately right from the start to the end as far as this project topic is concerned. So, it gets easier for the subordinate to understand. Since it will be systematic and logical ideas put forward in a sequence when we talk of increasing order of importance. Also, sometimes if a person at top management wants to give information or news which is sad news, then it is better to take the increasing order of importance. Outline of a memo. The outline can be in form of short phrases listed in logical order, as it helps to give order to the body and establish relationship between ideas. That means the way the memo is represented, it gradually moves ahead with ideas and it goes in a logical and sequence of ideas flowing ahead. And it flows in a logical manner and the sequence of ideas going ahead appropriately. So, the person who has read the entire memo will understand clearly, and this is also important from the point of view of the reader, because he will understand every aspect of what is put forward in the memo. This is also done so that the reader finds it easier to understand the entire aspect in terms of the layout. That means each and every aspect as to how the ideas are presented, how ideally it is in a logical order, and then you as a reader connect and put forward all the ideas so that you find it easier to understand and thus implement it in terms of your work. A memo is always brief, plain, direct, and concise, using a comfortable, natural style. A memo is a very simple way of communicating. Why? You're directly putting your ideas. Those ideas, ideally, a decision has to be taken, or what will be the next step. So it is put forward in a very simple manner. There's no space for confusion, and it is also for people within the organization. So even if the ideas are put forward in a simple manner, it is also about the people who are constantly interacting with each other. So it is easier to understand when ideas are put forward or expressed, or when there's internal communication taking place through a memo. Try to have a cordial, straightforward, and conversational tone while not being formal. Now, if it is a warning memo, one may have to sound formal, or one has to sound formal. But if it is directions given, or if it is an idea, or if it is views, suggestions put forward as to how to go about a particular project, then we should actually put it forward in a cordial, straightforward manner. Generally, the tone is neutral and positive. Generally, spiteful, blunt, condescending, or formal memos alienate people. Yes, the choice of words, the tone, which will be expressed through your words. Especially if your words are rude, especially if your words are in a condescending manner, then it will probably be difficult for people within the organization to actually relate to the concerned person. When we say relate, to have an appropriate rapport, to be able to express views freely. Free flow of communication may not be there in that case, even if it is verbal or written. So, these aspects are important. When we say spiteful, blunt, condescending, or formal memos alienate people. So, one has to be very careful when we are talking of memos or communication within an organization. When we talk of memos, it is ideally to the people within the organization. So, you're reaching out to people who are there. And it is not a wider audience, like, for example, an email. So, when a memo is put forward, the way of communicating can be far too different, or has to be far too different as compared to an email. Fax message. A fax message is much the same as a letter sent by post. The cover page includes to, from, company, date, fax number, subject, and number of pages. Now, what is one of the most important aspects of a fax? A faxed document will reach immediately, provided both the sender and the receiver have a fax machine. Fax is not used for documents which are confidential. When we talk of a faxed document or a fax message, the cover page includes to. So to, Mr. and his designation. From. So to and from. Very important. The company. The name of the company. The date. The fax number. Without which you will not be able to send the document. It is very necessary to know the correct fax number. The subject, what is the purpose of you faxing a document, and the number of pages including this page, that means a total number of pages. The salutation and complimentary clause may be included, and the text must be prepared like the text of the letter. That means a fax message will have all the contents or details, just the way an email probably can have, or a letter which is sent by post can have. That means all the required details and information. The advantage is that it can reach anywhere else in the world as long as both the sender and receiver have the fax machine and the correct fax number. Email. It is the most commonly used method of communication as it is effective, inexpensive, and very fast. It follows the basic rules of good writing, which is called netiquette. When we talk of email, yes, the most important aspect is that it reaches immediately. It is as such inexpensive. We need the basics where we can connect to the internet. When we talk of netiquette, N-E-T-I-Q-U-E-T-T-E, netiquette, it is basic etiquette as far as internet is concerned. When we speak of the word etiquette, E-T-I-Q-U-E-T-T-E, what is etiquette? Manners. When we talk of netiquette, it means that, for example, I'm sending you an email. What are the basic aspects I need to look into when I send you an email? For example, not having long and complex sentences. Convey the most important aspect of that email in a very direct manner. Be as polite as possible. Keep a calm tone. State certain aspects in a specific manner. Do not use capital letters or words all throughout for the subject. The subject is one of the most important aspects when we write an email, because whenever we write an email, the subject will convey to the reader what the email is all about. So, all aspects as far as email is concerned. Also, we do not use we do not use emoticons or smileys when we are sending a formal mail. So these aspects need to be looked into. We cannot change the font. There has to be consistency as far as the font is concerned. We do not highlight certain sentences. We avoid that if possible, because that is not considered formal communication. So, all these aspects need to be looked into when we speak of netiquette. And the email is the fastest way of communicating effectively. The email should be concise and to the point. Write a specific subject line. Very often, when people may not get time to read the email properly, the subject line will give away hints or cues as to what exactly the email is all about. Avoid excessive punctuation. keep to plain text. As far as the font is concerned, appropriate font should not be changes as far as the sentences are put forward. Sorry, there should not be changes as far as the sentences are expressed. Limit the use of abbreviations, that is short forms. Use of smileys or emoticons. We have to avoid the use of smileys or emoticons. Whenever we are communicating, that means in an organization, or whenever there is formal communication, we have to avoid the use of smileys and emoticons. The email is written in a very direct manner, whereby it is not appropriate to express emotions. Never type all in capital letters. Use salutation properly. Salutation is a way of greeting the person. Also, when we talk of salutation, we call the person Mr., Miss., Mrs., depending on what the person prefers. But it is also put forward in that form so that you're ideally showing respect. Now, as far as email, they're saying there's no privacy in email. Some organizations keep a check as far as the emails which are received from outsiders. So, some organizations have the same password for 3 to 4 people in a particular department. So, at times, there is no privacy as far as email is concerned. Always revise and check the message before pressing the send button. It is very important to check every sentence. It is very important to check if any grammatical errors. It is very important to send the email only when you have read it and you realize that it will be easy for the reader or the receiver to understand that email which is sent by you. Keep printouts of those really needed for office filing. If you do not need the printouts, it'll be occupying space and there will be wastage of paper too. So it is very important to keep printouts only if required. And send copies only when essential. When we say send copies, the CC circulated copy. So only when required. Delete the needless information in forwarded messages. Be very careful when you forward a message. Because when you're forwarding a message, some information can be deleted. You have to be very alert when you're forwarding a message, because it is necessary to delete certain aspects of that email. Keep the internal clock and date settings accurate. That is one of the most important aspects, because we need to be careful as far as date and time are concerned. Thank you.